ज्ञानं स्मिरन्तस्य ज्ञानं जनशलाकाय चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
Strong words, strong adjectives. The personality of Godhead, his transcendental form, is experienced by great devotees who are completely cleansed of material consciousness. Cleansed? How? Completely. How do they become cleansed of material consciousness? By dint of rigid devotional service. Not half-hearted devotional service, rigid devotional service. And full control of life and the senses. Not partial control, full control. And that is the only way to purify existence. It's not that this is one way to purify existence. This is the only way. This is called, by some, religious fanaticism or fundamentalism, that we insist that this is the only way. Some people are afraid of this, that if we insist this is the only way, then we will become intolerant of those who do not follow this only way. Nevertheless, this is, as has been stated here in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the only way. Lord Krishna himself also establishes this in Bhagavad Gita, although foolish people misunderstand that what Krishna said was summed up in the words of his later so-called incarnation, Jato Mat Tato Pat. All Krishna meant to say is summed up in four words. Whatever you think, it's all okay. As many opinions, that many paths. Krishna speaks of karma, jnana, yoga and bhakti. But he doesn't say they're all the same. He says, Bhaktya mama vijanati. Through bhakti I can be known. Throughout the Gita, he says, Bhaktya tunanya yashakya. Even, what is that? Drishtam evam vidha. I can be seen in this way. Only by devotional service. What kind of devotional service? Mame kam sharanam raja. Surrender unto me only. But this is the way to understand Krishna. There's only one way. It's not possible any other way. There are certain qualifications. It's like if you want to go to the college, you require certain qualifications. It's not that you can... You may have other qualifications. If you want to study in an engineering course, you might be good at cooking chapatis. So that's one kind of qualification. There's not the qualification to go to engineering college. You have to have the specific qualification. So the specific qualification to understand Krishna, to see Krishna, is to be completely cleansed of material consciousness by dint of rigid devotional service and full control of life and the senses. So here stress is being put on control of the life and senses. Jitendriya, a well-known word. Jitatmana vigatadhi brahmacharya vrte, in Gita Krishna describes. Jitatmana, Jitendriya, who's in control of his life, who's controlled the mind, whose mind is vigatadhi, his mind is no longer disturbed. He follows the brahmacharya vrata. This is described by Krishna in the section in Gita describing the yogic practice. So there are many yogis, and generally the impersonalists, they stress very much on their sense control. So devotees, they also stress on that. But here the devotional understanding is that by sense control, the ultimate goal is to understand Krishna. Whereas for the impersonalists, their sense control, it all comes to the point of supposed becoming one with Krishna. So both are stressing on sense control. However, there's a difference here. Because here it's stated that one can only properly, fully control his life and senses by devotional service. And Krishna can be seen when one is completely cleansed of material consciousness. The non-devotee spiritualists, they want to control the senses by artificial means. Let me follow some vow. Less eating, less sleeping, all these things. They want to do it only by the strength of their own mind. But actually that's not possible. That will break in course of time. And that will not completely cleanse one of material consciousness. Even if you become detached, by artificially controlling the senses. That will not cleanse the material consciousness because love of Krishna is not developed. That means you still have material consciousness. Therefore, it's called artificial control of the senses because the senses are not properly engaged as they should be engaged in the service of Krishna. Now, artificial control means just to say, no, 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 I won't touch this. I won't smell that. I won't eat that. Artificial control. But the senses have requirements. They're sense objects. And this, the ultimate requirement of the senses is to see Krishna. To smell fragrance of the body of Krishna. The fragrance of the tulsi offered at the lotus feet of Krishna. To hear Krishna's flute. To hear the Hare Krishna mantra. These are the requirements of the senses. So if that is fulfilled, then the senses become pure. If it's not fulfilled, then we engage in material sense gratification, or we try to artificially control the senses. So we may say that here is mentioned about controlling the senses by higher engagement that we can practically experience. When we're fully engaged in Krishna's service, then we're not interested in sense enjoyment. You can imagine there's a big kirtan, big festival, everyone's dancing and chanting, and then if some young lady comes up in the middle of the kirtan, please enjoy me. You won't be interested. For a devotee who's experiencing the pleasure of Krishna consciousness, then automatically he's not interested in sense enjoyment. What is that? It just seems ridiculous to him. Now, in India, you'll find in all the any newspaper, they have some. Turn it off. That's why I turned it on just before Mangal Arati. And it was turned off. And now it's turned on. It should be on during Mangal Arati. Right? And then it doesn't disturb at that time. So control. Controlling the senses by higher engagement. The devotee, he's not attracted, just like I was saying this. You'll see now that all the newspapers, someone's telling me even toothpaste they're selling. Now they have the advertisement on TV. Even for the toothpaste advertisement, they show some lusty looking young woman with minimum clothes on. And in the photo, they have to make themselves look extremely lusty. That's the qualification for being a model. So, foolish people are attracted by this. A devotee, even not devotees, even anyone of moderate intelligence, they understand this is all nonsense. Because moderate intelligence is unusual in the modern age. That's why they can sell all these things by appealing to people's lowest senses. Buy this toothpaste, then you'll get the ring of confidence. And confidence means you can go near to a girl. She won't be, you won't have to wonder whether my breath stinks or not because I used Colgate. So in this way, they're foolish people. It's foolish. They're attracted to this. But a devotee, he's not attracted. He's got something better. Such better. You see, discussing Srimad Bhagavatam. It's just on a level mundane people can't imagine. Even yesterday that man was coming, he wants to discuss Bhagavad Gita. But he has no idea what is Bhagavad Gita. Just his whole approach is mundane, some kind of, just like some people read Shakespeare or something. It's just, let us enjoy on the intellectual platform. We'll discuss for hours and hours. And then we'll go home. That's all. That's finished. Let's have a discussion about Bhagavad Gita. As if it's just some, Krishna's written a book, let's discuss. And then, what's the activity? Bhagavad Gita is a call to action. Arjuna was not in control of his senses. He was whining like a child. Oh, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. Krishna told him, you're nonsense. First thing he told him. You're sent anarya jishta maswagyama kirtan karamajuna kaivyam masnagamajmata naitatvayubhupyadita shudram hridya darbhavyam tekful tishna parantipa. So why are you whining like this? You don't want to engage in service? This is anarya. This is not proper for you. You're supposed to be a respectable person. Give up this nonsense, this stupidity. Get up, do your duty, fight. So Arjuna, he did that and he was able to control his senses by engaging them in the service of Krishna. And he didn't fall down. Otherwise, if he wanted to go away into the forest and simply let me be detached, but by not following the order of Krishna, you don't get spiritual strength. You may think, I'll do this, I'll do this, I'll make my own plan, I'll make another plan. But it's just like the impersonalists. They're trying to do on their own, to make themselves strong on their own. I'll make this, I'll make my kuti. Oh, so many different ideas they have. Someone lives up in a big hot bamboo pole so no one can see him. And then he can't come and disturb him, I guess. He just stands up and gives him ashirvad. Now that kind of thing. Or I'll go to a cave in the Himalayas and no one will come to see me. I'll sit there and grow my hair. That's their job. You see these sadhus, long hair, more than 2 meters long. They must be very old. They've been sitting in some cave growing their hair for maybe 150 years. So this way they have their own plan, and the result is they get long hair. And at the Kumbh Mela, people come, oh, look, must be 150 years old. That says every 12 years he comes out for a little sense gratification. People can look and say, what a great yogi. Then he goes back for another 12. So he's making his own plans. But he doesn't actually control the senses. He doesn't satisfy Krishna. And ultimately he falls down. The impersonalist falls down. Even if he doesn't immediately fall down, he stays on the path after many lifetimes becoming purified from the immediate effect of the three modes of material nature, goes up to the Brahma Jyoti, and then finds out, well, you know, what's going on? There's not much going on here. Okay, let's go back down and open some hospitals. Let's go back to them. There's so many people suffering in the material. Kalyan ho. They'll impersonalists give ashirvad. Oh, kalyan ho. What kalyan? Open a hospital. Let us open up. Let us open a school and teach girls how to be prostitutes, becoming engineers and all this kind of thing. Kalyan ho. They fall down again to the material because they're not taking strength from Krishna. How to cross over this ocean of material existence? How to do it? What does the Shastra say? So many things. Samashita ye paddapallava pavam. Mahatpadam punya yashomarare. Pavam vadeya vatsa padam. Parang padam 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 yadva padam vatesham. This material world is very dangerous. You can't cross it yourself. But if you take shelter of Murari, he can help you. You can cross over the ocean of material existence as easily as crossing over the little pool of water that is made in the impression of a calf's footprint. That easy, you can cross over very easily. But if you don't, then the whole world becomes very difficult to become free from material nature, unless we take shelter of Krishna by following his instructions. And how by doing that? By dint of rigid devotional service, half-hearted, quarter-hearted, three-quarter-hearted, won't help. May help, but only by taking full control of one's life, by surrendering to Krishna in the parampara system, following the process, and this full devotional service. This is why the Srimad Bhagavatam is the Amala Purana, spotless Purana. Other literatures, they also speak of devotional service. Other Puranas, they speak of devotional service. But only in the Srimad Bhagavatam, from beginning to end, is pure devotional service recommended. Other Puranas, they may give some idea even of pure devotional service, but then in other places they'll give some other ideas also. But in the Srimad Bhagavatam, from beginning to end, there is nothing discussed but pure devotional service to Krishna. This is Pancham Purushata, Prema Pumarato Mahan. This is the actual goal of life, above everything, to become a pure devotee of Krishna. So what is the goal? Here everything is mentioned. What is our relationship with Krishna? That we are subservient to him. We should see him, not that we will call him to see us. What is the process to attain Krishna? By engagement in full engagement in devotional service. And what is the result? That eventually we will see Krishna. The residents of Dwarka, they are seeing Krishna. Of course, not only seeing, but engaging in his service. residents of Dwarka were very anxious to see Krishna so that they could engage in his service in various ways. So that is, it's understood that the residents of Dwarka, even though they were pure devotees, they were engaged in so many social activities. They had their families and so many different family life, social life, but it was all centered on Krishna. They're pure devotees. They're in full control of their minds, their lives, their senses. They're fully concentrated on Krishna. So how a devotee controls his senses, that may be difficult for a materialist to understand. They see a person who's very busy running around here and there, building buildings, dealing in money, all these things. They may be surprised, but a devotee is doing it all for the sake of Krishna. Therefore, he's the most renounced. He has his senses controlled. Because even if people bring money, he's not attracted to use it for himself. Even beautiful girls, everyone is attracted by beautiful girls. One time Prabhupada said, if you're attracted to beautiful girls, then you engage them in Krishna's service. Bring them. You'll engage them in Krishna's service. Similarly, money. I heard this story, I don't know if it's true or not, but the purport is nice. And generally, they think of sadhu. There are some sadhus, they're famous, that if you bring their money, no, I will not touch it. Of course, everything they use is bought with money. If you're so detached from money, then just go to the forest and live naked and eat the leaves from the trees. If you don't have any use for money. But they have this idea, they won't touch money. You see in Thailand, the Thai Buddhist monks, they're not supposed to touch money. So when they go on the bus, actually they go free on the bus. But if they want to go on the air-conditioned bus, they have to pay. So they'll get it out with... See, they'll have... With the cloth. They won't directly touch it. They'll hold it in their cloth. They're very strict. And then they'll put it down. Because the bus conductors are mostly women. They're not supposed to touch women either. So they can pick it up. So they're very strict. They don't touch the money. So Prabhupada heard about some sadhu, they won't touch money. Oh, very renounced. Prabhupada said, you bring me money, bring as much money as you like. I will take it all. And then I'll say, bring me more. We can engage all the money of the world in Krishna's service. It should be engaged in Krishna's service. Sometimes we think someone gave a big donation. And Prabhupada said, this is a genuine problem. Prabhupada said, Krishna doesn't see how much you give, he sees how much you're keeping back. How much you've left. You see, someone has given a big donation, but for him it's just small amount. So he's not Jitendriya. He hasn't controlled his senses because he doesn't want to give everything to Krishna. So a devotee, he gives everything to Krishna. Surrenders his life. It's a great act of faith. Well, sometimes people ask, what if it's not true? What if you spend your whole life chanting Hare Krishna and then you just die and then boom, just finished. And nothing happens after that. Or what happens if actually Jesus is the only way and you go to hell? What happened? You know? I spend my whole life chanting Hare Krishna and now I have to go to burning hell forever because I didn't drink the blood of the Holy Lamb. But a devotee has faith. He knows he's chanting Hare Krishna. He's not shaken what other people may say. Swamiji, when you die, everything is finished. When the body is finished, everything is finished. Prabhupada, that Professor Kotovsky said, Prabhupada never said, well, maybe you're right. He immediately said, no, you're a fool, you're a rascal, you're wrong. So the scholars, they're so upset by Prabhupada. Because in his books, he always in their commentaries on Bhagavad Gita, they give, yes, this is my opinion, what this means. Prabhupada said, this means this. They say, well, this could mean this and that could mean that. And Prabhupada said, this means this. Krishna says something about karma. Mayarpita mano buddhi. Well, that's very clear. Offer your mind and intelligence unto me. What is that? Karma naiva hi sansiddhim. So many people in the past attain perfection by performing their duties. Now, actually, Prabhupada translates that as prescribed duties, not as devotional service. Anyway, in so many places, Prabhupada translates buddhi yoga. Prabhupada translates as devotional service. Prabhupada writes in the Prabhupada, here buddhi yoga means devotional service. And the scholars, they have pride. They get, oh, how can he say that? He's just twisting it. It's just his interpretation. They'll write, well, maybe buddhi yoga means this, or maybe buddhi yoga. That's their scholarly, mundane pleasure. Maybe this, maybe that. And even Prabhupada writes, anyone who doesn't accept this understanding of Bhagavad Gita is a demon. These false commentators have created havoc in the spiritual life. And they're saying, you see, he's just twisting it. And not only that, but he's saying, not only is he saying that I know what is Bhagavad Gita, but he's saying everyone else is wrong. And they're a demon. They hate it. But Prabhupada, yeah, he has no doubt. Because he has seen Krishna. He knows what is the purport of Bhagavad Gita. He has factual experience. So many times I thought these atheists and foolish, so many different foolish people would come before Prabhupada and say, well, how do you know there's a God? I don't believe in God. And Prabhupada's seen Krishna face to face. And the person saying there's no God. Blind man. They can't see. Vimura nanu paschanti. Pashanti Jnana Chakshusha. You can see first of all by the eyes of knowledge. And then later you can see Krishna face to face. Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochana. Santas Sadaiva Hridayeshu Vilochana. Yang Shamasundaram Achintya Gunasuru. Govindamadi Purusham. Sadaiva. All the time. Certainly. There's no doubt in the Shastra. People may have their doubts as to what Shastra means, but the Shastras are very clear. Those whose hearts are anointed with the salve of love, they see Krishna at every moment. So Prabhupada assured us also, you follow this process of devotional service, you will see Krishna in this very life. And go to Krishna, dance with Krishna. Steal Krishna's lunchbox. And you can also, residents of Dwarka, they don't do that. But the cowherd boys in Vrindavan, they do that. So how can they do that? Because Krita Punya Punjaha, Shukadeva Goswami was amazed. How is it these cowherd boys, they're playing with Krishna and stealing his lunchbox, jumping on his back. How is it possible? Because they have become heaps of pious activities. That means in previous lives, they controlled their senses, they controlled their minds, they studied the Veda, everything. Anyone who is engaged in full devotional service, chanting the holy names, they must have in previous lives performed all these, studying the Vedas, sacrifices, giving in charity, going to holy place, everything complete. And then what do you get at the end? You can become a cowherd boy in Vrindavan and chase Krishna and imitate the frogs with Krishna. Steal his lunchbox. So many things. So that gives Krishna pleasure. That they've controlled their senses, therefore they're able to engage in activities with Krishna. Which it appears just they're like, they're not yogis. They're just cowherds. They're just simple village boys. Who cares for a simple cowherd boy? No one gives a damn. But these cowherd boys, they're playing with Krishna. Because they've done it. They've controlled all their senses. Even they're fighting with Krishna. They're fighting with Krishna. Fighting means, you know, some enmity. But that gives Krishna great pleasure. Of course, Krishna also fights with Kamsa. Shishupa, that also gives him pleasure. But they're not devoted. You see, even Mother Yashoda, sometimes Krishna gets upset with her. Why is she tying me up? So she's giving displeasure to Krishna. She's the greatest devotee. And then Kamsa, Krishna's fighting, he enjoys that. But Kamsa, he's not a devotee. He's not doing his mood, his attitude towards Krishna. Even though he's giving Krishna pleasure, Krishna has the pleasure of killing him, fighting with him and killing him, removing him from the earth. But Kamsa, he's not a devotee. To get the position of Kamsa, he must have also performed some pious activities. To become a king, powerful king, and dominate the world, he must have performed some superficially pious activities, but he wasn't pleasing to Krishna. Even though he gave pleasure to Krishna, But that wasn't counted as devotional service because his attitude was against Krishna. But because he was absorbed in Krishna, he's always thinking of Krishna. So he was killed by Krishna and he got form of Krishna. He was benedicted with that liberation. So Hare Krishna. Any question?
When one has no taste in devotional service, how can he intensify?
How can he?
Intensify.
If you don't have a taste in devotional service, how? Well, you can't intensify something you don't have. You have to have something. Something must be there. How can you intensify here? First of all, there has to be a desire to improve. It means there has to be some taste. So fan it. Fan the spark. How to? These how to questions. How to become a pure devotee? How to control the mind? How to become sincere? How to chant attentively? So one answer is, well, just do it. Why don't you do it? Instead of saying, how can I chant more attentively? Just chant more attentively. And make the effort and do it. Another thing is, you can associate with devotees who have those whatever quality you feel lacking in yourself. You can associate with devotees who you see have that quality. Then, by association, sangat sanjayate kamaha. By association, you attain the same desire. Krishna bhakti mool hoy sadhu sangha. The very root of devotional service is association with devotees.
Is it so common that as one practices for 10, 15 years, the service becomes less intense and their absorption in Krishna becomes less intense and they kind of take it more easy than when they first come into it? So how to understand this tendency?
The complacency tendency. Someone's been in the movement for a few years and their devotional service is not as intense. Whereas we're talking about how devotees, their intense devotional service, they overcome, they automatically overcome the attraction of the senses. Here in the purport, Prabhupada always used to give the example of Vishwamitra who fell down. And many times he would give the opposite example of Haridas Thakur who didn't. So these are examples in the Vishwamitra is practically in the perfectional stage of yoga, yogic sense control. But he fell from that. But with the same attraction, or even more attraction, Haridas Thakur didn't fall. Devotee in the neophyte stage is always subject to fall. That question you've asked, how is it that devotees come, they practice for some time, then they become, instead of becoming more intense in their devotional service, they become less? Well, it's only that same question was asked, how has so-and-so fallen away? So you may analyze the whole thing, but ultimately it's the misuse of independence. They have the chance. Misusing. Complacency. Familiarity breeds contempt. I've already been in this movement 5 years. I went to Mangaladi every day. That's more than 1,500 times. So now I don't need to go. I remember the first time I came across this. The first time I went to New Zealand and I asked who's the town president. There is no town president. They have a board. So who's on the board? What's the qualification? Well, you have to go to Mangaladi at least 5 days a week. Otherwise, you can't be on the temple management board. And what about 7 days a week? I thought it's supposed to be institutionalized. So, and if you think it's okay, then all right, now I'll go 5 days a week, and 4 days a week, 3 days a week, once a year. So you have to, it's a good warning for those who are in the beginning stages. If you are practicing intensely now, go on doing it. There will be so many reasons Maya gives us. One of them is change of ashram into Grihastha ashram that often sucks people, sucks people in and down. It may be difficult. Maybe keeping a self-centered attitude. That instead of seeing Krishna's hand in everything, that we blame others. Oh, this is not good. He's not doing that right. He frightened me out. I don't want to do any more service. Instead of seeing Krishna, instead of seeing the opportunity to go back home, back to Godhead, the opportunity to deliver people by spreading Krishna consciousness, we tend to think in terms of our own interests. If we think in terms of our own interests, then we'll find obstacles everywhere, because that's the nature of this world. So practically we have to maintain a mood of surrender, giving ourselves. Do not think what Krishna consciousness can do for you. Think what you can do. Do not think what this movement can do for you. Think what you can do for this movement. Giving. Practically from the beginning the devotee has to develop that mood and maintain it by constantly hearing. By hearing and by fully engaging in the mission. Missionary movement. Practically, nowadays we hear so much talk of Raga, Noga, Bhakti and higher stages and all this, but probably Prabhupada gave us that from the beginning, that the highest level of thought is to do good for others. That's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's audarya, means munificence, mood of giving to others, which is even, Shastra analyzes that, is more exalted even than Madhurya. Sweetness. So devotee, if he picks up that mood, which from the very beginning devotees are trained, go out, meet people, do something to help others come to Krishna consciousness. So if that mood is there, then the devotee will maintain his enthusiasm, always trying, always thinking. Life decision. You see here this control of the life. So we can take our life in control by having a life's mission. As Prabhupada said, just give this one life to Krishna. You gave so many lives to Maya. Now give this one life to Krishna. You'll not be the loser. So if you have a mission, I have so many things to try and do something in Krishna's service, then you won't become less enthusiastic. Actually, if you think what we have to do in Krishna's service, then you'll want to live for 1,000 years, because there's so many things. How can you possibly do it all in one lifetime? There's so many things to do. So why become less enthusiastic? Become more enthusiastic. You take it as a material thing, you know. And what is that? Been everywhere, seen everything, done everything. You know, I heard it. I already went to Mangaladi so many times. I already read the Bhagavatam so many times, and you know. I already went to Mayapur festival so many times. I already had prasadam, so there must be something different to eat apart from prasadam. It's material consciousness. Precursor of fall down. You know, maybe TV is not so bad, and you know, we have to relate to the materialistic people in a way they can understand us. And, you know, otherwise, how are they going to accept us? So we should also be like them, and then they'll accept us. Sure, it's true. They'll accept you. They'll be happy to accept you. If you become like them, they'll be very happy to accept you. You're not going to spread Krishna consciousness, though. You'll become more accepting. Devotee so-and-so has become a great chess champion. Oh, that means, means Krishna conscious movement is normal people. Okay, you become accepted. Very dangerous, this becoming accepted. You become too much anxious to become accepted. It's a fight. It's a revolutionary movement. Maybe it's like a revolutionary war of attrition. Guerrilla movement. You know what that means, war of attrition? You wear down the opponent. By long, like these, just like in Afghanistan or in Chechnya, the Russian army was much bigger and much better equipped and everything. But the guerrillas, they were in the mountain. They couldn't come out in the field and fight them and defeat them. but they'd come out in the night and shoot a few Russians here and there in the hills where they can't get them. So it's like that. So you see, often these guerrillas, after some time, they become, you know, how long are we going to live in the jungle and run around like this? And it's difficult. How long are you going to go on? If you think, if you're not fully dedicated to the cause, then you think after some time, well, why don't I just surrender, give up my guns, and, you know, and they'll put me in the paper, so-and-so surrendered, and give me $1,000, and that's what they do. The government forces, they're always trying to get the guerrillas to surrender. You must know from your mind. Is it like that too? They're always trying to get, surrender your arms, and we'll give you a nice house, and we'll forgive you, and we'll let you back, and, you know, we'll let bygones be bygones, never mind about the... So Maya is saying that. Why are you always running around and, you know, all the time talking about this Darwin's theory and Dr. Frog, and how long are you going to do this, you know, just teaching this basic philosophy, you're not in this body, and, you know, and so many headaches. Why don't you just become a normal, decent citizen? How long are you going to go on like this? Simply being a reject from society, an unusual kind of person, and no one else dresses like this. Why you? So unless you have that mission to remain soldier for Krishna throughout your, unless you're fighting against Maya, then Maya is going to overcome you. The best means of defense is attack. So you have to do something. Do something to push back Maya, even if it's not like Hanuman, even if it's just like the little squirrel. Do something. Have that spirit. Lord Rama accepted. You have to keep up the missionary spirit, fighting spirit. Compromise is the cause of downfall. Rigid devotional service, here in this verse it says, rigid devotional service. Rigid means no compromise. Otherwise, we're in danger of becoming a bona fide religion. That's what they want. In the Western countries, they want us to become a bona fide religion. You know, just like there's Christianity and Islam. That's the end if we become a bona fide religion. If we become accepted by the materialists on their terms. You know, we also let our children watch TV and where the girls wear little frocks and have loose hair. And it's all this, you know, just like normal people. We don't try to make them anything different. So then you can become a bona fide religion. If you just let your members of your society be just materialists, but they have, you just be like everyone else. You can believe what you like, but you should. You can be vegetarian, that's okay. But, you know, all this making your children rise early in the morning and believing all this mumbo jumbo is too much. You should become a bona fide religion. So we should be careful about that. What's your question?
As you said that he gives many lives to Maya, why not give one life to Krishna? If someone is thinking like that, and if he is not so renunciate to the sense pleasures, and if he gives up his life to Krishna, how long he can maintain it?
How long can a person who's giving his life to Krishna maintain if he is attracted to the senses? Well, everyone, that's the whole point. We're all attracted to the senses. That's to sense objects. That's why we gave so many lives to Maya. So that means to conquer the lower self by the higher self. Jahi Shatram Mahabaho. Overcome this enemy. Kama Rupa Durasadam. Difficult to overcome this enemy called lust. But you have to conquer over it by intelligence, by intelligently understanding it's not in my self-interest to enjoy the senses. So why don't you, the thing is, if you don't try to become Krishna conscious, then what do you get? You simply end up in the pit of material existence. But if you try to serve Krishna, what do you lose? And if you don't try to serve Krishna, what do you gain? That's right here in this chapter. Tyagvam svadharma charanam bhujam bhajanna paklo tapatetato yadi yatrakva bhadrama buddha mushakin kimvato aptam vajatam svadharma. This Narad Muni is saying that what is the value? What is the value if you lead a very good life as a materialist? What do you actually gain? Even if you're a very good, moral person, but if you don't surrender to Krishna, what did you gain? On the other hand, if you give up all your material engagements to surrender to Krishna, and even if you fall down without being mature, still you don't lose anything. Bhajan apagro ata patet tato yadi. Even if you fall down in the immature stage, you don't lose anything. You have nothing to lose by serving Krishna. Of course, we also have the general principle is there of surrender. But how you approach that path of surrender in your individual life, that will be different in different cases. If someone has a strong desire to serve Krishna, but at the same time he's feeling too much agitation from material attraction, then he's allowed to go to the Grihastha Ashram, but he should be in the Grihastha Ashram, not simply in some hole-in-the-wall apartment somewhere watching TV with the kids screaming and the dogs barking and wife screaming. That's not Grihastha Ashram. It means centered on Krishna, clearly centered on Krishna. And that's also allowed. But actually, if you're going to lead a proper Grihastha life, then you have so little room for sense enjoyment that you might as well not bother anyway. Just not worth it. It's not worth the extra. I mean, if you've already got baggage on board, that's one thing. But if you haven't, then why bring it? There was that story that they were asking Prabhupada in this 1966. They were asking Prabhupada, what is the meaning of illicit sex within household life? So Prabhupada said that you can have sex only once a month for the sake of producing children. And when the wife is pregnant, then no, and then again after at least 6 months after delivery. So then Hayagriva said, so only once a month, well, what's the point? Better not get married at all. Prabhupada said, that's right. You got the point. You've understood. Better tolerate a little itching and let it go, and then it'll gradually go away. Kandutivan manasujam vishaheta dhira. Who is self-controlled, he tolerates the itching. If you scratch it, it becomes worse. I know, I'm having practical experience. I'm having this itching. At night, I'm kind of half awake, and I don't know what I'm doing. I'm scratching, and I wake up, and it's worse. By scratching, it becomes worse. So tolerate, and then the pain will gradually go away. The itching will go away. Just try to think what you can do with your life. We can't do anything, but if we pray to Guru and Krishna, we can get some empowerment to do something. We may, however useless we may be, we can go to people and tell them about Krishna, and they can be benefited by that. So why not do that? We're not going to be in this body very long. We're all going to be, 100 years from now, none of us will be, 100 is not much. 1 year just, 1 year goes, one after the other. So why not do something in this time to serve Krishna? Bring people to Krishna consciousness. Do something to help them. I mean, there's this desire, that desire, just put it on, just say, okay, just like Haridas Thakur with the prostitute. Okay, I'll tend to you later. I have something busy, I have something important world now. Just sit there and I'll see you later. So like that, this desire, that desire, okay, you're all right. Well, what about, today's book distribution? Okay, so I'll attend to that desire after I've distributed books all day. And then you just forget it. Material desires come and go, come and go, come and go. So just let Puryamanam Machamapatishma Samudramapa Pravishanti Yadva Tadvat Kama Yam Pravishanti Sarve Samudra Sashanti Mapnoti Nakama Kami. That nice example is given by Krishna Gita, that just like rivers enter the sea, all the time different desires are entering the mind. Just like the sea remains the same, even though huge rivers enter the sea. See, in the rainy season, have you seen Ganga in September? Huge. Just like you can hardly see to the other side. So becomes so big and ravishing fields and towns, flooding all the towns. But what difference does it make to the sea though? Ganga, ferocious, or fierce Ganga. And so many rivers enter the sea, the sea just remains the same. Same. So many desires may enter, but a self-realized person, just all right. The desire came. And it's just like, you know, some stool. So it's, you just, okay, you sit and you leave it. You don't pick it up and, looks kind of interesting. I wonder what it tastes like. You don't contemplate on trying to enjoy it. Stool. So in the same way, so many material desires come. Okay, hey. Ah, look at that stupid material desire. Okay, let it go. Now, desire comes. All right, you know, what am I doing now? I'm chanting my rounds. Okay, chant. Desire comes. What am I doing? Now I have to take prasad because I have to then go on with my service. So just practice. Avoid just not taking these desires seriously. They're all nonsense. What do? We have so many desires for sense enjoyment. What is? It's all nonsense. It's meaningless. It cannot benefit me in the slightest way. It's the great power of Maya, you see. Any beautiful young girl comes in. These beautiful young girls, they're quite aware that they're beautiful. They enjoy that. Walking as if pretending they don't notice, as if how beautiful. So what is that attraction? What is it? You see, there may some girl is short, ugly and fat, and another is beautiful. What is it? What is the arrangement of skin and bones that makes one woman's body attractive and another's not? I mean, it's just a different, it's a little bit, basically it's the same kind of prototype model. But one's got, maybe one's got some cheekbones sticking out, or the face is kind of round and fat. Another one is just like the, what's that? Painting? Famous painting? Anyway. Mona Lisa, just beautifully shaped. Everything's in the right place. Now, what is it? Why should something like this be more attractive than something like that? What is intrinsically so wonderful about it? If you examine, what is it? What is this beauty that we put? It's simply the power of illusion. And whether it's film star class or get them married by any means class, either way, it's just a combination of bones, blood, stool, pus, urine. What is it that is attractive? It's only the power of illusion, because we think that I will be happy. And it's an amazing power of illusion that we see so many people, they're getting married and they're thinking, oh, how wonderful. And they're seeing all around them, everyone is struggling. No one is in ecstasy because they're in family. No one's dancing in the street with ecstasy. Only when they first get married. For the first 3 days or so, something like that. Sometimes it goes on longer. You can see newlyweds. They're in a big, everything's so wonderful. And after some time, the grind, the whip comes out. Okay, get to work. So it's a great illusion that I will be happy in material. That what is it? What is there intrinsically in anything material to make us happy? Just imagine some food. What would you like to eat? So imagine all the nicest thing you can imagine. Does it actually make you happy? Okay, you want to eat gulab jamuns. Okay, here's 1,000. Eat them all. Is it going to make you happy? Maybe after the first 5 or 6 or 10, 20, maybe 50. Okay, go on. You wanted it? You want to be happy? 500. It's not fun. It doesn't make you happy. Or what is there intrinsically in skin? You think that if I touch not your own skin, but the skin of some desirable partner, that will make me happy. But it doesn't make you happy. It's just an illusion. There's some feeling, some excitement, but it's not happiness. People don't know what happiness is. There's a great illusion that actually it's the cause of all suffering. There's the great power of illusion that we become. We immediately become attracted to what? To that which is the cause of our suffering. Just like the moth is attracted to the fire, thinks, I will be happy. The moth thinks, I am, flies into the fire and is burned. Those examples are given in the Bhagavatam. The elephant is attracted, is captured by the she elephant. The deer is captured by the sweet playing of the hunter. That's such nice music. And the deer becomes transfixed and as if hypnotized. And the hunter simply puts down his foot, picks up his bow, and shoots. The fish sees in the water, swimming around, and sees, oh, there's a nice worm. And he's caught on the hook. So in this way, it appears to be the cause of our happiness, but it is the cause of our bondage and distress. That should be understood. So there's positive method and negative method. Positive method is engage in Krishna consciousness, get a higher pleasure. Negative method is we should understand by intelligence that there is no happiness anyway in material life. There's only talk of it. But there is no actual happiness. It doesn't exist. There's no one in the material world who is happy except the devotee of Krishna. They may even think they're happy because they have such a lack of knowledge of what happiness is. I was just seeing in this newspaper supplement, they're interviewing children. Now you're holiday from school. What are you going to do? I'm going to have a good time. I'm going to watch lots of TV. I'm going to go to the beach. What are they doing? You see that in the Western people go to the beach so they can get a suntan because they're white and they want to become black. And the Indian people, they have this whitening cream to make your supposed to make your skin less black. I'm sure it's a bluff. I'm sure it doesn't work. You see, who's white they want to be black, and who's black they want to be white? Is this not Maya? But not too black, you see. They don't want to be actually black, just a little brown. Yes, crazy. It's just crazy. So these students are saying, I'm going to have a great holiday. You know, I'm gonna watch lots of TV and go to the beach and, you know, play computer games, and I'm gonna be just in a big illusion. I'm not gonna be happy. No one's happy in this material world except those who surrender to Krishna. And that's our big Maya. We don't surrender to Krishna. Even though we're going through the motions of devotional service, we're still making so many different plans. Let me do this and let me do that, and you know, I can really become happy in devotional service. All I need to do is just, you know, change my situation, go somewhere else, and, you know, if I can just get rid of this guy who's giving me so much harassment and so many, we're always trying to adjust the situation. But the real situation that we have to change is the situation of the heart. Then you can be happy in any situation. But if you're always looking for the ideal situation, it's like one devotee was here, he thought he'll come to India, and then I'm going to learn deity worship, English, mridanga, and harmonium in 1 year. And I'll go to India, and then, you know, someone will teach me. So now he's going to somewhere else to find that situation where he can just, and when he's learned all these things, and then his devotional service will be wonderful. But it's not like that. First you surrender, then everything follows afterwards. If you think, you know, I have to arrange my own life in such a way that this and that and... No, everything will come. But you have to know what the method. The method is, Jai Prashade Pure Sarva Ashana. All desires are filled by one who follows the Parampara system, by the mercy of Guru. That's all. Not by making so many different personal plans. Hare Krishna. All glories to His divine grace, Srila Prabhupada.